Catholic Answers game show music, because right now it is the Catholic Answers Christmas game show extravaganza. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. Joined in studio by our super secret celebrity guest, it's Carlo Broussard. Hello, Carlo.
Hey, hey, hey.
Thank you so much for being here with us.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
For the game show.
It's awesome, yeah. It's sort of an extra boost of energy because it's the eve of Christmas Eve.
Exactly.
So it's the Christmas extravaganza.
Exactly.
Catholic Answers game show.
And we have two wonderful guests with us who apparently have finished their Christmas shopping and have time to do a game show. So they're obviously organized and respectable people. Unlike myself. Let's start with contestant number one. That is Jackie. Jackie, are you with us?
I am. Hello, Cy. Hello, Carlo.
Hello, Jackie.
Hello, hello.
Jackie, where are you and what's interesting about you?
I am in the suburban capital of California, Camarillo. And I am a lowly housewife. I am wife to a wonderful manly man and mother to the most insane 8-year-old boy you will ever encounter.
That's only because my son is 22 now. Jackie, why do you say that Camarillo is the suburban capital of California? Is it just a...
Oh, I don't know. It probably really isn't, but to me it is. It's probably the most strip mallish place I've ever lived.
The beauty of the California strip mall. There's nothing like it.
Another interesting thing about Jackie is that she has the same name as my mom, Jackie, and my wife.
So this is going to be very confusing for you. Also, our contestant, our second contestant is Kyle. And Kyle, you should be aware that Carlo's probably going to favor Jackie because of her name. Kyle, welcome, Kyle. Where are you and what's interesting about you?
I was a little worried about the favoritism, but, you know, what can you do? I'm from LaGrange, Texas. I've been married 8 years to my wife, Katie. We have three children. Sophie's 6, Justin's 3, and baby number 3 is due in April.
Fantastic.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm in my first year of diaconate formation for the Diocese of Austin, so please pray for us.
Holy smokes.
And,
That's not well, he's first year though, Jackie. So he hasn't gotten to the theology yet. It's been all discernment so far. So all right, so that's here's the thing though. Kyle's oldest daughter is Sophie and I have a daughter named Sophie.
Oh yeah.
So I will have to favor Kyle and you'll have to favor
there you
Jackie.
Go.
All right, let me
Kyle is kind of fine.
Yeah, that's not quite as weird, though. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I apologize. Sorry, Dad. I apologize for that. I have my father's name and my grandfather's name. Jackie and Kyle, I'm going to tell you the rules, and then you're going to tell me if you understand the rules. And once you understand them, I will do a brief legal disclaimer, and then we will play the game. Here are the rules. Kyle and Jackie. First of all, Jackie will be contestant number one. And Kyle will be contestant number two. That will only be of interest to us if after the first two rounds you are tied. And in that event, Jackie will get to pick box A or box B. And that box will tell us what to do. It will tell us who's going on to the final round. There are three rounds. Rounds one and two involve multiple choice questions. Each round, there will be three multiple choice questions for Jackie and three for Kyle. When we are done with those two rounds, whoever has the more has answered more questions correctly will go on to their final judgment. The last round is called your final judgment. As I said, if there's a tie, then Jackie will pick box A or box B, and that will tell us who's going on. So far, all of the rules are clear to you?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. The last two rules then. You will have lifelines in rounds one and two. You will not have any lifelines in round three. You will have lifelines in round one or two. At any time, if you get a question and you'd like to use one of your lifelines, you can ask Carlo to either eliminate one wrong answer. That's one lifeline. Eliminate one wrong answer. And you'll have to, and I usually I say that leaves you with just two, but some of our questions today have four. Did you notice that, Carlo?
I did.
It's because we're doing some four Gospels questions. So, but he will eliminate one wrong answer for you. The second lifeline, Carlo will just give you the answer. Okay? Is that clear?
Yes.
Except for one thing, right?
Jackie's listening.
She's a listener.
What's the go ahead, Jackie. What's the except for?
Except Carlo has to give the answer in Pig Latin.
Carlo will be giving you the answer in Pig Latin. And so that means if you get to your last question and you have not used the lifeline, you are forced by law to use it just so we get to hear Carlo do Pig Latin.
Ig pay atin lay.
All right, Jackie and Kyle, here's the brief legal disclaimer. And once you have confirmed that you accept these legal conditions, then we will move on. Legal disclaimer. Catholic Answers is not responsible for any injuries incurred during this game. Everyone ready to go forward?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we can hurt them now. We're not responsible for any injuries. Oh, wow, that's
actually a good disclaimer because somebody might be emotionally hurt for not getting the right answer.
Yes.
And so that way we're covered.
Right. I find it emotionally hurtful when anybody gets an answer wrong. I feel so sad that I wrote it. All right. Basically, for those playing at home, I'm going to ask the questions twice. So you have two opportunities to decide on your answer. There's plenty of time for you to decide on your answer if you're playing at home. And lots of people do play along at home. Lots of people also play with us on Facebook and YouTube. All I ask Jackie and Kyle is you let me read the question twice before you answer. Here we go. Jackie, your first question of round one. Which gospel is the only one that mentions the Magi? A, Matthew. B, Mark. C, Luke. D, John. Jackie, which gospel is the only one that mentions the Magi? A, Matthew. B, Mark. C, Luke. D, John.
I think it's A, Matthew.
Good job,
that sound means
Jackie.
That you got it correct.
That's awesome. Good job.
Eric knows how to turn the music on, but I don't think he knew how to turn it off. Can you? Do you know where the off button is? Yeah, you found it now? Okay, good. All right, you're one for one, Jackie. Kyle, here is your... did you want to say something about that? Usually you have something to say. I'm sorry.
Well, there's not much to say about that except... Matthew's correct. Jackie did a fantastic job. Matthew chapter 2, yeah, verse 1 there is where it speaks of the wise men, and the Greek word there for the wise men is magos, or it conjugated as magoi, but it simply means a wise man of some sort. Yeah.
That's why many of my friends call me magoi. I don't know if you knew that. All right, Kyle, here's your first question of round one. Which gospel is the only one that mentions the shepherds visiting the baby Jesus? A, Mark... Excuse me, I apologize. A, Matthew. B, Mark. C, Luke. D, John. Which gospel is the only one that mentions the shepherds visiting the baby Jesus? A, Matthew. B, Mark. C, Luke. D, John.
C, Luke.
Good job, man. They all to
I know,
the
he
right
said that
story.
With no fear,
I know,
too.
He's like...
Because he's a deacon. He's got the Bible right there in front of him. He's leafing through while I'm asking the question. Is that right, Kyle? No, I'm sure it's not.
Well, you've only got two infancy narratives. I had a pretty good shot.
There you go.
All right. I think you're going to make a fine deacon, Kyle.
Indeed. Luke 2, 8 through 20 is the narrative there, the citation for the narrative.
All right. Another gospel question. I'm having a problem reading my own writing here.
Just do it, man. He's the one who said it. Hey, go ahead.
So this is for your second question of round one. This didn't print out right on the printer, so I really am having trouble reading it, but I'm going to try. Here we go for you, Jackie. Which gospel does not start with the infancy of Jesus, but before the beginning of the world with the words, "In the beginning was the Word"? Is it A, Matthew, B, Mark, C, John, D, Luke? Jackie, which gospel opens not with the infancy of Jesus, but before the beginning of the world with the words, "In the beginning was the Word"? A, Matthew, B, Mark, C, Luke, D, John.
D, John.
Very good, Jackie. She was paying attention because you mixed up in your first statement.
Oh, I did.
You said C, John, D, Luke, and then you switched it at the end. So Jackie was paying very close attention, man.
Oh, I am so
glad. Kudos to you, Jackie.
Assistant producer, me. Look at that. It didn't print out right. Thank you.
I was wondering, she just brought
me a clean copy. Oh. I was trying to remember it. I couldn't read it. Okay, so I'm okay. Kyle, all right, everything's okay here on our end. As you can see, a highly organized... really finely tuned machine here at Catholic Answers for the Catholic Answers game show, Christmas game show extravaganza. So finely tuned that we have to take a quick break. So you will have to wait for your second question of the first round, Kyle. While you're, I'm sending you off, I want people to know we do still have a sale on the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics, the first course from Tim Staples at the School of Apologetics. It's called Evidence for the Church, Understanding the Church in Scripture. You just go to schoolofapologetics.com. You can listen to a sample if you want, or you can just take the course, and it's $50 off right now at schoolofapologetics.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Prayer is the only truly creative power in the world. God is the only one who can create something out of nothing. And when we pray, we welcome God into our hearts. And once He's there, He's going to do something. He's going to change things. He's going to transform us. He's going to make something out of the nothing that is me. That's the power of prayer for me. It's the only power that's guaranteed to change my life. And the only way I know to make that happen is through prayer.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Christmas Game Show Extravaganza. I'm Cy Kellett, your game show host. Thus far, Jackie has no errors. She is contestant number one. Contestant number two, Kyle, has no errors. And the host has several errors. So I am far behind in the game show. Kyle, question number two for you in round one. And no one has used any lifelines yet. Question number two for you, Kyle. Why did Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem? A, to be counted for the census. B, to visit Mary's cousin Elizabeth. Or C, an angel told Joseph to go there. Why did Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem? A, to be counted for the census. B, to visit Mary's cousin Elizabeth. And C, an angel told Joseph to go there.
A, for the census.
There you go. Some easy peasy, man. Luke 2, 1 through 4.
I should have told Jackie and Kyle this at the beginning, but I didn't say anything. But this quiz is kind of easy, and then all of a sudden, it's not easy at all.
Round so 2, like, that's like, before theological.
Like you're cruising along right now. You're like, man, of course it's the sense that, oh, yeah, this is for the – we wanted the kids to have fun playing along at home. We wanted everybody to have a good time, but it's not going to be a good time in round 2, all right? I just want you to know it gets hard. We're about to go off a cliff. Not yet, though. All right, this is your final question of round 1, Jackie. What is the first season of the church's liturgical calendar? A, Easter. B, Advent. C, Christmas. Jackie, what is the first season of the church's liturgical calendar? A, Easter. B, Advent. Or C, Christmas? You do have both lifelines left.
That's something else. That is true. How about Carlo remove one wrong answer?
Okay, I will remove.
Help her out. Come on now.
I will remove C, Christmas.
All right, so the liturgical year begins either A, in Easter, or B, in Advent.
Okay,
how about A?
Oh, it's B.
Yeah, yeah, see, yeah. I know.
We just started it, so Happy New Year to you, yeah, liturgically speaking.
Happy new Advent year. Don't worry, Jackie. I'll make up a question so hard Kyle can't answer it. No, don't worry. We're gonna get this back. No, Kyle, were you listening? Okay, here's your last question of round one, Kyle. Your final question. Oh, man. Who was the ruler trying to find the Christ child to destroy him? Was it A, Pontius Pilate, B, Caesar Augustus, or C, Herod? Kyle, who was the ruler trying to find the Christ child to destroy him? A, Pontius Pilate, B, Caesar Augustus, or C, Herod?
C, Herod.
You got it, brother.
Why? He's a rotten person, Herod. That's horrible.
I thought
his sons too.
Immediately, I thought you were going to say Kyle was a rotten person for getting it right.
No, I'm not. Sure.
I was like, a fine person. It took me a while to like say what?
Wait a second. No, Herod really wasn't. He was called Herod the Great, but he wasn't. He wasn't so great.
Yeah, you can read about that for our listeners. They can read about it in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 18.
All right, we're into round two. Kyle is up by 1 point. Kyle has not used any lifelines yet. Jackie has one lifeline left, the give me the answer lifeline. Are we ready to go into round two? Everybody in the control room, we feel ready to go into round two? Okay, Jackie, first question of round two. Jackie, what is the incarnation? A, God entering Jesus at baptism. B, God assuming a human nature and becoming man. Or C, God taking on the appearance but not the nature of a human. Jackie, what is the incarnation? A, God entering Jesus at baptism. B, God assuming a human nature and becoming man. Or C, God taking on the appearance but not the nature of a human.
Good job.
Oh, she said B.
Oh, she got it.
I have trouble hearing the C and the B sound the same to me when the music's playing. All
paragraph
right.
461 in the Catechism. The Church calls incarnation the fact that the Son of God assumed a human nature in order to accomplish our salvation in it. To say that he appeared to be human would be the heresy of Docetism, saying that he wasn't really human but just appearing to be. And, of course, God wasn't just entering Jesus at his baptism, because that would presuppose Jesus wasn't God prior to his baptism. Now, there would be some theologians who would say maybe Jesus was God prior to his baptism, but he didn't know it until his baptism. But, of course, that has been rejected by the theological tradition as well.
Nice going. You knew that. You just knew that one straight up there, Jackie. All right. This is for Kyle. Your first question of round two, Kyle. What is divinization, also called theosis? What is divinization, also called theosis? A, when a person is made like God so as to share in the divine nature. B, when Jesus appears gloriously at the transfiguration. Or C, when Mary is conceived in the womb without sin. Let me ask that one more time for those playing at home. Kyle, what is divinization, also called theosis? When a person is made like God so as to share in the divine nature. B, when Mary appears gloriously at the... Excuse me. I apologize. I have to start all over again. A, when a person is made like God so as to share in the divine nature. B, when Jesus appears gloriously at the transfiguration. Or C, when Mary is conceived in the womb without sin.
A.
That is correct. Good job. Hey, man, he's in deacon formation. He knows about this stuff.
Are you saying that Christians teach that we're going to be made like God so that we can share in the divine nature?
Well, that's what St. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:4. We partake of the divine nature. That doesn't mean we become God. We still retain our finite status, all right? There is no transferal from finite order to infinite order, right? So we remain creatures, but we are able to share in God's life by way of elevation, where our nature is elevated by the power of God such that we can operate on supernatural levels and be directed to God as our supernatural end and loving him and being united with him. And so that's called divinization, not divination, which is condemned and a part of the occultic practices, but divinization, where we're participating by grace in the divine life. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1988 quote St. Athanasius when it's affirming this teaching that God gave himself to us through his Spirit. By the participation of the Spirit, we become communicants in the divine nature. For this reason, those in whom the Spirit dwells are divinized. And of course, St. Athanasius is referring to 2 Peter 1:4 when he's speaking of communicating in the divine nature.
Nice going, Kyle. As we did incarnation and divinization, this is the harder part of the quiz that I warned you guys about, but you're having no problem with it at all. All right, your second question, Jackie. This is your second question of round two. Who is the Theotokos? A, the beloved disciple. B, Jesus. C, Mary. Jackie, who is the Theotokos? A, the beloved disciple. B, Jesus, C, Mary.
C, Mary.
Very good.
Wow, no hesitation at all.
Good job. Yeah, the Catechism talks about this in paragraph 495, where it's talking about Mary being the mother of God. She's truly the mother of God. And then it refers to her as Mother God as Theotokos, the God-bearer, right? Inasmuch as she bore God, she is the mother of God, because the subject of action, who was born of Mary, is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, whom we can refer to as God.
Kyle, time for you. Well, first of all, great job, Jackie, on these tougher questions. Kyle, here is your second question of round two, and this is what I'm going to do. Carlo, I have a completely blotted out printing here. Could you just read the question twice to Kyle? Would you mind?
Yeah.
Because I can't
see on your... Okay.
No, it's a total mess, and this one's a hard one, so I want to make sure.
Oh, just that one. I thought you were giving me the rest of the questions, man.
Just question number four.
Okay, sure.
His second question of round two.
Okay, so this is for Kyle, right?
Kyle.
Okay, Kyle, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Jesus has two natures. A, but only one will, the divine will. B, and two wills, human and divine. Or C, but the two natures are fused into one nature. I repeat, Jesus has two natures. A, but only one will, the divine will. B, and two wills, human and divine. Or C, but the two natures are fused into one nature.
That'd be B, two natures and two wills.
There you go. Good job, brother. That's awesome. Yeah, this is actually the true proposition that Jesus has two wills, both human and divine, comes from the fact that he has two natures, human and divine, united in the one person, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. That he has two wills is called diophyletism. The heresy that was condemned at the Third Council of Constantinople in 680 to 681 is the heresy of monophyletism, which suggests that Jesus only had one will. And so the orthodox position is that he has two wills, precisely because of the two natures, that the two natures are not fused one into the other, whether the human into the divine or the divine into the human.
All right. That brings us to the last question for each of you in round two. Jackie, you still have your Pig Latin lifeline left. And Kyle, you still have your Pig Latin lifeline left. So by law, this is not just a rule of the game. This is by actual law passed by the state of the California and the Holy Roman Emperor that you must use your Pig Latin lifeline. Are you both willing to fulfill the law?
I think so.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. All right, Jackie, here's your last question of round two. If a priest performs a sacrament while in a state of mortal sin, A, the sacrament is invalid, B, the sacrament is valid, or C, the sacrament is technically valid, but no grace comes from it. Jackie, if a priest performs a sacrament while in a state of mortal sin, A, the sacrament is invalid, B, the sacrament is valid, C, the sacrament is technically valid, but no grace comes from it. Jackie, would you like to use your lifeline?
I have to by law, correct?
Yeah, you do. Yes. I don't want you to have to deal with the Holy Roman Emperor. All right, Carlo.
No, I do not. Go,
Carlo. You got to give her the answer in Igpe Atenle.
Okay, so here we go. I'm just going to say what is not repeated, because every single one starts with the same words, the sacrament
no,
is.
No, you got to say, don't you think he has to say the whole thing?
Okay,
Pig
all right.
We need a ruling. Eric ruled.
Okay, so I got to say the whole thing. You ready?
Yes.
Jackie, here we go. All right. Hete, akramintse, sie, alidve.
Do you want him to do it again, or you feel clear on that one?
I'm good.
All right, so
it's B.
The sacrament is valid. What? How can that be?
You know what? I gotta say, I like ad lidve.
Ad lidve is easy.
That
That's not too hard.
Sounds good. Yeah,
that sounds very Latin. Yes, you should name your next child that.
Ad
lidve Broussard.
That actually sounds pretty good.
You got to explain this one though.
Saint Thomas Aquinas actually answers this very question in the third part of his Summa Theologiae, question 82, article 5. And basically, the rationale behind his answer that a priest can validly consecrate the Eucharist even in a state of mortal sin, is that he is consecrating the Eucharist not by his own power or by some power flowing from his own state of holiness, but he is exercising the power of Christ in and through his ministry. He is the minister of Christ, in whose person, Aquinas says, consecrates the sacrament. So if the power, if we believe the power was flowing from the priest himself and his state of holiness, then it would be invalid. But that's not the case. It's coming from Christ working in and through the priest.
All right, we got one more question to go, and then we're done with rounds one and two. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back and continue with the Catholic Answers Christmas Game Show Extravaganza.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Oh yeah. A little bit of game show music, because it's time to continue with the Catholic Answers Christmas Game Show Extravaganza. Last year, we just did a Catholic Answers Game Show, and we said to ourselves, that's not enough. We need to do a Christmas Game Show Extravaganza.
And next year,
we're going to add another word to it.
You add Christmas holiday music.
Oh, what's up? Yes. Yeah.
Now, of course,
I like it.
There's all of the copyright laws that you got to get around.
No, no, there's a lot of that stuff that's in the public domain.
Maybe some jingly Christmas.
Perhaps we could have, this is what I want to do for next year's game show. Someone has to remember this, all right? I don't know if anyone has a piece of paper to write this down, because it's a whole year away. I want to pre-record some great, like really good Christmas carols.
Yeah.
On an accordion. If we can get a Cajun accordionist to record them. Does anybody know one? Does anybody know someone we can call on who's a professional musician that could do this?
Me.
Yes.
Me. Answer.
I like it. I think we could do it. And then we'll package it up as a little CD and we'll sell it. And we'll give all the money to the Broussard children. What do you think? Can you play some Christmas carols on the accordion?
Yeah, I can play it in simple form. Yeah, let's play some carols. But
no, simple form. I want it in complex form.
You want to have some jingly music too, man. Some fun holiday music.
Wait, your music is as much fun as music can be. There is more fun than your music. So.
But even when I play the music on the accordion, it just doesn't have the jingly sound.
Oh, you want that? All right. I don't know. I thought this was a brilliant idea.
I thought it was a great idea.
I'm starting to lose heart now. Pray. Do we have to do the rest of the show? Can I just go home now? I'm feeling depressed. Carlo doesn't even. All right. Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Christmas Game Show Extravaganza. Next year, to include Christmas music, possibly of an accordion variety, we have two guests with us, two contestants playing with us. Jackie, who lives in the suburbs of Camarillo, California, and Kyle, who is going to have to remind me where he lives. Kyle.
Texas.
That's what I meant. I was going to say Texas.
LaGrange.
I was afraid to say it. Oh.
I remembered LaGrange because I'm a big fan of Garrigou LaGrange, the French Thomas.
Me too.
The great Dominican Thomas.
Raise your hand if you're a big fan of Garrigou LaGrange.
I am.
Are you?
Woo,
Jackie?
Yeah, Jackie.
All right, we need to have an extra prize for Jackie. We're going to have to throw in. Let's throw in. No matter what else Jackie wins today, let's throw in Jimmy Akin's book, The Bible is a Catholic Book, because she is a big fan of LaGrange. Did I say it right?
Reginald.
Reginald.
LaGrange.
All right. This is serious business, though. Stop fooling around, everybody. This is a game show. This is serious business. If there's anything about America that we know, game shows are serious business. I want you to, if you could, Marie, assistant producer Marie, because the entire world loves assistant producer Marie, if you could get on the microphone and tell us what is the second place winner. We're not going to have any losers today. We're going to have a winner and a second place winner. What is the second place winner going to get?
Our second place winner is going to take home all three of Carlo's books today.
Three of Carlo's books. What are those? I don't remember the titles.
Purgatory is for Real, which is his latest book that just came out. Meeting the Protestant Challenge and Prepare the Way.
So why even bother winning? If that's what you're getting for coming in second, why even bother winning?
You can win
thing?
A lot more if you go all the way.
Oh, you get
way.
Even more. Okay. All right. All right. Are you ready for your last question of round two, Kyle?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry to wake you up, Kyle, but we're still playing a game
future
show here.
Deacon.
Future Deacon Kyle. All right, here's your last question, and you have to use your lifeline on this one. Kyle, who can baptize? A, bishops, priests, and deacons. B, any baptized person. C, any person with the right intention. Kyle, who can baptize? Are you mad at me now, Kyle? What did I do wrong, Carlo?
Well, that's kind of a tricky one, but I think Kyle will get the gist of the question.
Okay, why are you telling me now? We're in the middle of the game
show. I know. It slipped my radar when I was reviewing it prior to coming on the show, but I think Kyle will get what you're trying to get at here.
All right.
So, Kyle, I think you got this, brother, okay?
All right.
Go forward.
Well, also, he's going to get the answer in Igpe Atenle. Because he has to, by rule of law, based on the rules of the Holy Roman Empire. Who can baptize, Kyle? A, bishops, priests, and deacons. B, any baptized person. Or C, any person with the right intention. Wait, stop the music. I got it. There you go. He's got to use his lifeline. All right.
All right. You ready, Kyle? All right. Here
yes,
we go. Niae es ersonpe. Ithwe, hite, aitre, intentionie.
Well, that last one sounded very Italian, didn't it? Do you want him to do it again, or is that enough, Kyle? Have you got it?
You know, I think I got it, but I think I need to hear it again.
I think so too, Kyle. You're my kind of guy.
Niae, ersonpe, ithwe, hite, aitre, intentionie.
What is it, Kyle? What's the answer?
That'd be C, the right intention.
That's right.
Who can baptize? Any person with the right intention. What's wrong with that? What did I do
okay,
wrong?
Okay, well, all three of these can baptize.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
A bishop, priest, and deacon, can they baptize? Yes. Can any baptized person baptize? Yes.
Oh.
And any person, even a
I should have said the first two should have been only a bishop, priest, or deacon, and C, only a baptized person, or C.
Yeah.
All right.
But Kyle got it. I figured he would get it.
All right, Kyle. Thanks for saving
my bacon. In fact, the Catechism teaches this in paragraph 1256. So the ordinary ministers of baptism are the bishop and priests. And in the Latin church, it says also the deacon. Those are the ordinary ministers of the sacrament. And then it goes on to state, in the case of necessity, any person, even someone not baptized, can baptize if he has the required intention. And what that required intention entails is simply to do what the church does.
Yeah.
So you can have an atheist or a non-baptized person, and they have a friend, and they get in a wreck, and the friend's dying, and the friend says, dude, baptize me. And the atheist guy's like, I don't believe in that stuff. What do I got to do? Just Father, Son, Holy Spirit with water. And all he has to do is say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with the water, and simply intend to do whatever the church does, and that would suffice for it to be a valid baptism. So he doesn't have to know the whole theology of baptism and the effects of baptism to sufficiently intend what the church does. He simply has to intend to do whatever the church does. Now, if he's doing it in a mocking way, like, I'm just pretending, right, or something like that, then it wouldn't be valid. He wouldn't have the required intention.
Right.
But if he intends to do what the church does and whatever Jesus said to do, that would suffice to have the required intention.
So, and this is a gift of Jesus in that he doesn't want there to be any impediment. If you need baptism and are willing, he wants you to have it.
That's right. And the church, I think the catechism goes on to talk about this within either the preceding or subsequent context of this paragraph in highlighting the necessity of baptism, right? Like, Jesus has revealed to us, unless a man is born again of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And given that baptism is the condition for entrance, at least that we know of by way of divine revelation, we have this sort of generous application of the graces of baptism that can be applied even by somebody not baptized. Now, of course, that does not mean someone who is not baptized is automatically going to hell. The church simply says this is the only way that we know of, hence the urgency to baptize and the generosity in the application of the in administering the sacrament by extraordinary ministers of the sacrament.
All right, we now need to put all the data into Braino, the Catholic Answers artificial intelligence computer, to tell us who has won. And Braino says,
Kyle.
Braino sounds a lot like Marie, assistant producer Marie. Kyle has won. Jackie, you only got one wrong. Holy smokes, that's a great victory. And the question I have to say, the question that I asked you, it involved knowledge of the liturgical calendar, which is a very low order of knowledge. All
but
the high order stuff.
But she rocked it on the theology stuff.
Right.
Yeah. No, I've spaced on the easy one, which was my. Here, so, you know.
Sorry about that, Jackie, but you did win four prizes. You won each of Carlo Roussard's books, including his latest book, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet.
That is true, yeah.
And you also won his other two books, Prepare the Way and Meeting the Protestant Challenge. And we're going to send you as a bonus, just because of some reason I can't even remember what it is.
It's Christmas!
Because it's Christmas. Jimmy Akin's book, The Bible is a Catholic Book. Did you have fun, Jackie?
I had so much fun, and I'm more than grateful for the prizes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're a great contestant.
Amen.
And now you got to get ready for Christmas with the craziest 8-year-old on earth. Do you have any special?
I know.
Is there any special Christmas tradition in your family that you like? What's a great Christmas tradition from your family that you're going to go get ready for now? Do you give presents, for example?
I don't know. You know what we do every year over and over again is we just try to keep our son from finding the presents before they're wrapping under the tree. That's really our Christmas tradition, to be honest with you.
Yeah. He's one of those, huh?
Warning parents.
Yeah.
Of
right.
little ears listening.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Yeah, you've got, what do you got to make? About 36 more hours and you've got it. Jackie, thanks very much. We have to take a break. We'll continue with Kyle's final judgment. We'll see if he can withstand final judgment right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
What do you do on Sundays? You go to church? No, I golf. Ever make a hole in one? No. Well, why don't you pray a little bit? Pray. Yeah, pray. Oh, why I need to pray. I could give you 50 reasons.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end. It's been...
Oh, holy night.
Oh, sorry. Oh, there he goes. Carlos singing Christmas carols. I like it. He's adding to the Christmas feel of the Catholic Answers Christmas Game Show extravaganza next year to include Christmas music. I am exhausted already. It's been an adrenaline... I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
It's been an extravaganza. Your tail off,
it's been,
man. And getting ready for the holidays with all of the pre-records. So kudos to you, brother.
And I am.
You deserve a bonus, man.
Where's Chris Check? Chris Check was here earlier. Did he step out of the studio? Just put that in an email and send that off to Chris Check for me.
Might have to do that.
All right. I appreciate it. All right. We have our winner of rounds one and two. Kyle on the line. Kyle, a father of three children, in his first year of preparation to be a deacon of the Catholic Church, and now faces his final judgment. Kyle, are you ready to face your final judgment?
Yes, sir.
All right, here's the rules for final judgment. There are seven questions, just like seven sacraments. And you will, on each question, it's just true or false. It's not a multiple choice. It's just a true or false question. And there's no lifelines. You will not have any lifelines. For each question, before I ask you the question, I'll tell you the prize you're playing for. If you get the question correct, you win that prize. If you get the question wrong, you do not win that prize. And I will probably find some way of mocking you. Then if you get all seven correct, first of all, you're a superstar if you do that. Second of all, in addition to the seven prizes, what does he get, Marie, in addition to seven, the $50 thing or the...
He gets a CASA course of his choice.
He gets any Catholic Answers School of Apologetics course of his choice. Everyone who would like to take a Catholic Answers School of Apologetics course, now is the time to look. They've got a bunch of stuff on sale. Go to Catholic Answers. No, just go to school. You don't have to put in Catholic Answers. Just go to schoolofapologetics.com. Schoolofapologetics.com. Kyle, you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right. Your first question is a true or false, and you are playing for Carlo's latest book, Purgatory is for Real. Kyle, true or false? Constantine started the celebration of Christmas as a Christianized version of a Roman pagan holiday. True or false, Kyle? Constantine started the celebration of Christmas as a Christianized version of a Roman pagan holiday.
False.
That's correct. For our listeners out there, we have a few articles online that sort of goes into the background of why that would be false and sort of the history of the liturgical celebration of Christmas, etc. So on our website at Catholic.com, we have articles like, for example, by Sean McAfee refuting the pagan roots of Christmas claim. We also have the Encyclopedia article on Christmas that our listeners can take a look at. And then we also have one written by our own John Sorensen, Why is Christmas on December 25th? So these are a little taste of some of the articles that our listeners can go and read and sort of get the background history on the liturgical celebration of Christmas and stuff.
Yeah, this is kind of a common trope, really, that Christian holiday. I mean, people will do it with All Hallows Eve. People will do it with Easter. People will do it with Christmas. They're always, they stole that from, and generally speaking, if you look into it, the evidence is slim, shall we say, that's
the case. Well, it also assumes that the idea of sort of Christianizing a pagan holiday is somehow wrong or bad. Started as a pagan, that doesn't mean it still is pagan. It can develop into something Christian. So in principle, there's really nothing wrong with that. We could even challenge that assumption. So let's just grant it is the case that there was this pagan holiday and Christians baptized it, so to speak, and turned it into a Christian holiday.
That would be fine.
There's nothing wrong with that at all, because what you're doing is you're taking the things of the created order and ordering it to its proper end, namely God.
By the way,
and that's
Kyle,
what we need to do as Christians.
If Carlo ever says ordering it to its proper end, the next word is God. All right, it always is. Okay, so question.
There are subordinate ends, though, yeah, that lead right. to the ultimate end, who is God, just to be technically precise. Yeah,
you are nothing if not technically precise, Carlo. All right, question number two. This time you're playing for Carlo's book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge. True or false? The Holy Spirit is created by the love of the Father and the Son. True or false, Kyle? The Holy Spirit is created by the love of the Father and the Son.
God's not created, but I have heard the Holy Spirit existing in the love between the Father and Son. So I'm going to say false because God's not created.
Good job.
Oh, I didn't know which way he was going to go. You are correct, Kyle.
Amen. The Holy Spirit is articulated as the love of the Father and the Holy Spirit, but that does not mean the Holy Spirit is the created love.
And he got it that right. God is uncreated.
That is correct. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is not created. He's equal both to the Father and the Son because all three persons are identical to the divine esse, is what we say, the divine being, right? Which is the divine essence. And a key phrase, here's what's interesting. You know, Si, in Matthew's gospel in chapter 12, you know, verses 31 to 32, where Jesus says, if anyone sins against the Holy Spirit, he would not be forgiven either in this age or in the next, right? Well, Jesus identifies that sin against the Holy Spirit as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, whoever blasphemes the Holy Spirit. Well, how can you be guilty of blasphemy by sin against the Holy Spirit unless the Holy Spirit were God?
Oh, that's a very good point.
Because yeah. blasphemy—
That's a great little apologetic.
Yeah, blasphemy only could involve— saying something against the divine, right? Blasphemy necessarily entails speaking against the divine. And so the Holy Spirit is implied here to be equal to Almighty God. And there's other passages as well, but that's just one little hint.
I felt like that was on a knife's edge there for Kyle, but he went the right way. Always, if anyone ever tries to say God is created in any way, no, the answer, he is the uncreated one in every way, every possible way, he is the uncreated one. So good job, Kyle. Question number three, you're playing for Carlo's book, Prepare the Way. Kyle, true or false? Faith without works is dead. Kyle, true or false? Faith without works is dead.
James 2:24, that's true.
Very good, featured Deacon Kyle. But here's one little qualification. Not verse 24, verse 26. Nah, I know.
What's up? So let's not give him the prize then. Let's not give him the prize.
But here's why you're thinking of James 2:24, because that's the key text where James says we're justified by works and not by faith alone. So that's what verse 24 reads. Verse 26 he follows up in saying, faith without works is dead. So good jobs. Kudos to you, brother.
Hey, we still have the free Catholic Answers School of Apologetic course on the table because he's 3 for 3 on the true or false section. Got to move it along now. Question number four, true or false, Kyle? The souls in heaven are still awaiting the resurrection of their bodies. Kyle, true or false? The souls in heaven are still awaiting the resurrection of their bodies.
Debating if you're trying to trick me.
It's not a trick question, brother.
Why would I try to
brother.
Trick you?
No philosophical tricks here.
Well, Enoch, you know, assumed, and Elijah assumed.
Oh,
you know,
I see. Yeah.
Mary's bodily assumption.
He's talking about the blessed in heaven right now, boring those.
Okay, I'm going to say true then.
You are
yeah,
correct.
Good,
there you go.
Good job.
I see what you want. But there are bodies in heaven. I mean, if no one else, we know that Mary and Jesus are physically in
right.
heaven.
And then there's a question about prior to the ascension, whether Enoch and Elijah actually entered into the beatific vision with their bodies. So it kind of depends on what you mean by bodies in heaven, right?
Right.
But yeah, it is true. So that was correct. So paragraph 997, the catechism teaches in death the separation of the soul from the body. The human body decays and the soul goes to meet God while awaiting its reunion with this glorified body. But this is actually an interesting point because you wouldn't think it like growing up as a Catholic, you're just sort of catechized with this stuff. But it's actually a pertinent philosophical and theological question that theologians and philosophers debate.
Okay.
Like there are some who will affirm, now this is contrary to church teaching, but there are some who will try and affirm that upon death, the soul immediately is reunited to its body.
Oh.
In order to try and preserve the continuity of the body with this life, because that interim state of the separated soul, not with the body, does provide some philosophical obstacles of our future body having continuity with our body now. And so, but it can be overcome, and that's the church's
teaching. I didn't tell you what you won on that one. It was Catholic Answers, 20 Answers, Miracles. And we're getting very short of time, so I just need to tell you the rule that I didn't mention before. If we don't get to finish while on the air, you get no prizes. All right, question number five.
I will shut up.
You're playing for Can a Catholic Be a Socialist by Trent Horn. This is question number five. True or false, Kyle, the church no longer teaches that baptism is necessary for salvation. Kyle, true or false, the church no longer teaches that baptism is necessary for salvation.
That's false in as far as it is necessary for salvation.
Good job, Kyle. That's right. Paragraph 1257, the Catechism affirms it. The Lord himself affirms that baptism is necessary for salvation. What's tricky is, what do you mean by necessary? Like, yeah, absolutely necessary, such that anyone who doesn't get baptized, they're automatically going to hell? Not in that sense.
Right.
As the Catechism points out, it's necessary for those to whom it has been revealed and those who can ask for it.
And also, you should know at Catholic Answers Focus, we have a Focus episode coming up with Carlo on just that. Is baptism necessary for salvation? So, and Carlo has a lot of great Focus episodes. You can find them all at CatholicAnswersFocus.com. You're playing now for Behold Your Mother, Tim Staples' book on Mary. True or false, Kyle? Without the grace of God, which we cannot merit, we cannot be saved. True or false? Without the grace of God, which we cannot merit, we cannot, excuse me, which we cannot merit, we cannot be saved.
True.
That's right. Salvation only if and only if moved by grace. Grace is absolutely required for us to attain salvation. It's required for us to initially be saved at our initial phase of justification / salvation, and also to finally persevere and die in grace. Grace is necessary.
But does God want everybody to be saved?
1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, Paul teaches God desires that all men be saved.
All right.
So there is a desire, yes.
Okay, the last one you're playing for is one of my favorite Catholic Answers books, Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. As in your ministry as a deacon, I imagine this one will be very helpful to you. I really mean that. I hope that lots of people will get this book and read it. Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. Available from Catholic Answers Press. Here it is. Are you ready, Kyle?
Yes, sir.
True or false, Kyle? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Kyle, true or false? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Theologically false.
Very good qualification.
Well, no.
Yes.
Wait a second. If it's theologically false, in what sense is it true?
Well, it was actually said. I mean,
yes, in the
right.
movie.
It's... Relative to the theological framework of the movie, it is true. But relative to reality.
In reality, yes.
It is false.
And what's wrong with that? Why do angels not get their wings?
Well, let's ask future Deacon Kyle. There you go.
Kyle, you are going to be a fine deacon. This was just great. Thanks.
Good job, brother. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. And you're going to be getting all here. I better read to you what you're getting, and then we'll say Merry Christmas and be gone, because we're about done. You won 7 books, and you also won a free course in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. So in addition to the course, you're also getting Purgatorius for Real, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, Prepare the Way, 20 Answers, Miracles, Can a Catholic Be a Socialist, Behold Your Mother, and Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humanae Vitae. Congratulations and Merry Christmas. You did an absolutely fantastic job, future Deacon Kyle.
Thank you all. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
If we can get those right out, he doesn't have to get those 3 kids' presents. He can just wrap all those books and kids can all get those. Carla Broussard, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you, Si. God bless you, and thanks for having me on the game show. It's always a joy.
It's always so much fun to have you here. Eric, thanks for everything. Merry Christmas. Assistant producer Marie, Merry Christmas. Is she awake? Oh, good. She's awake. Who's running the video in there? I can't see. Oh, it's Sarah. Merry Christmas, Sarah. Thanks for everything. Wearing her snug sweater. Oh, look at you. I mean, we're all bundled up here in California. It's like 80 degrees out. We're all bundled up. Hey, we're going to have new shows for you all throughout next week. So don't worry. We'll have those shows. In the meantime, please don't forget, Jesus Christ is the light of the nations.